Okay, we're going to turn now to God's Word. And we're in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 4, 17 through 5, chapter 5, verse 4. Let's go to the Lord again. Lord, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for how it transforms us from the inside out. We thank you that you've given it to us to be a light unto our path. And Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear all that you have for us in this passage. And as I read this passage, Lord, just speak to us just through that. And then as we talk about it, as I preach from it, I pray that you would guide my words. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 4, starting in the 17th verse. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work in his own hands, with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. Keats. Okay, so you're not yourself when you're hungry, and so you got to eat a Snickers, right? But in this passage that we're looking at today, Paul says that you're not yourself when you forget how real God is. And you're not yourself when you forget who you are and who you belong to. You're not yourself when you forget whose you are, that you're God's, that you're his child. So who were we before we came to Christ? Paul, in this passage, talks about the old self and the new self. And he uses the word Gentile at the very beginning. And then he kind of bleeds into calling that person the old self. And if you've been with us over this course of this time that we've been in Ephesians, you know that Paul uses Gentile to refer to our state before Christ. He talks about Jews and Gentiles, and in the Jewish world, the Gentile was that person that was discriminated against, that person that was a non-Jew. And Paul says that in Christ, we've been made a new man that there's neither Gentile nor Jew, but there's this new man in Christ. And so, as we go into this message that Paul is giving us right here, it's definitely connected to everything he said. But you have to stay with Paul, because if you just read this passage, and if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, it sounds pretty offensive, right? It's like, this is who you are. You're this evil person, it almost sounds like. But if you look at a little more detail at what he's talking in the context that he's talking, you see what is offensive at first makes sense with the paradigm which Paul is coming from. He says that before Christ, you're futile in your thinking. You're darkened in your understanding. You're alienated from God. You're ignorant. You're hardened in your heart and you're calloused. What he's saying is that there's a blurriness to your whole existence. It isn't that the person without Christ is incapable of doing any good. I know people that don't know Jesus that are better people in many regards than I am. It's not that you're incapable of doing good. It's that you don't really know who you are until you know your Creator. And Paul is saying that if you're living in that state, you're oblivious to your Creator. And so your living is futile. The only hope you have in that state is what's right in front of you. If something's good, it's good. It's good for that moment. If it's bad, it's bad for that moment. It's a futile existence. If you see a beautiful sunset, it's just a beautiful sunset. I like to watch science programs on PBS. Anybody else like to watch those? One. I got one. Two. Three. All right. I love those programs, and they're so enlightening so many times. I remember, I know this wasn't on PBS, but this was like something on PBS that you'd watch on their nature things. It was this guy, this scientist, who was talking about the eye and how if you look through the lens of the eye, you actually are seeing things upside down, but your brain turns things right side up. And so this scientist, he took these special goggles and he wore them for 2 weeks. And these goggles had lenses on them that turned everything back upside down. And so his orientation at first was a bit crazy, and he just had trouble just walking down the hallway when everything was upside down through his goggles. And he didn't take those goggles off for 2 weeks. Well, I think he did sleep with one of those eye blinder things on his eyes, but every time that his eyes were open, he had these goggles on his eyes. And after 2 weeks, his brain switched everything back right side up. And so they had him doing crazy things like driving a motorcycle, and he must have been a pilot too, so he flew a plane and stuff. They're just showing that he could see. He had these funny little goggles on that had turned everything upside down, but his brain switched it back so that he could see everything right side up. So you watch these programs, and you see these amazing things, that the brain is so detailed, there's intricacy to how we're created. And what is painful at times, though, about watching these programs is that they don't acknowledge that there's a Creator. And so you can't completely enjoy the creation if you don't acknowledge the Creator. And so that's the futility that Paul is talking about. That you don't have a connection to your origin. So you only experience joy on a certain level. You only experience pain on a certain level. It's blurry. It's futile. And then Paul talks about the new self. The new self. The new self knows it's created after the likeness of God, as verse 24 says. It knows that he or she is made in the image of God, that they're an image bearer, that God's fingerprints are all over them. They know that God is real. And therefore, they know there's connection to an eternal God, and they also know that they are destined for an eternity, either with that God or separated from that God. They know that there's a connection to God and a connection to heaven. And Paul warns us, if we're that new self, that you're not yourself if you forget that. If you forget that you were created by God, a real God, and that you're destined to meet that God someday. Now, remember that we take the Bible and we divide it into chapters and verses. But this was one letter that Paul wrote. And so it's all connected. And you kind of have to have the whole of that context to know what he's saying in any one part. And so I want to remind us of where we have been in this passage, in the verses and the chapters before what we're looking at today. We were told that it we'll call it what Paul calls it, the old man, or the old self, I mean. Old self. We've got the old self, and then we've got the new self. And we're told the old self was dead, spiritually dead, that we were separated from God because of our sin. We were spiritually dead. We were in a dead state, and we were outsiders. Turn the lights up. You want me to move it? You weren't talking to me to turn the lights up. We were estranged from God. We were children without parents. We were parentless. We had no access to the presence of God, the temple. And then last week, first off, in contrast to this, then we're alive in Christ. We're insiders. We've now become citizens of a heavenly kingdom. We're children, and we can call God Father. We can call Him Abba Father. We went from not having access to the temple to becoming the temple. This is a weird twist. That we couldn't even get into the presence of God, the temple. And then all of a sudden, through Christ, we are the temple. We have access to God, but God's Spirit lives within us. We are the temple. And then last week we talked about how we are ministers. We don't need a priest. We've got Jesus who's gone before the Father, and He has given us each gifts to be ministers. He's our high priest. So we don't need an earthly priest. And so then Paul tells us that the gospel, the good news, is that Jesus got us from here to there. That's the gospel. That we came from the old self to the new self. And that is the work of Jesus. And then, at the same time, as this reality is our reality, if we've put our faith in Christ, Paul is saying, you're not yourself if you forget that you were created by God and that you have an eternal destination and that you're now alive, you're an insider, you're a citizen, you're a child, you're a temple, you're a minister. The new self, rather than living with this oblivion to who God is and who they are, is aware of their God, is aware that God has a plan for them. They've been made the temple of the Holy Spirit. They have the Holy Spirit living in them. And then Paul says that through that power of that Spirit, we're renewed in our mind. We have new minds that are aware of God. From going from this state of being oblivious to God to being aware of God, to having a God consciousness. So all of a sudden, God is real. I bet if we went around the room, we could get stories of how that happened for you. All of a sudden, God was just a story in a book. Someone that you grew up hearing about, maybe. Someone that you knew about more like you know about someone from history. But all of a sudden, God became real. He became real to you. I know that if we went around this room, we'd have various stories of how all of a sudden, God became real to you. When someone realizes how real God is, it transforms that person. And Paul tells us that the liar stops lying. The person with the temper suddenly becomes self-controlled. The stingy person suddenly becomes generous. The negative person suddenly becomes an encourager. The person holding a grudge, the person who wants revenge, who always gets back, who gets even, all of a sudden forgives. The person who's an adulterer becomes a faithful spouse. That's what happens when God becomes real. And Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1 is that the Ephesian church and us as a church, that we would understand that God is real. That we would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we might know God. That we might have a God consciousness. And yet, Paul doesn't say this like, hey, this is the reality that you always live in, and I'm just stating the facts here. He is stating the facts, but at the same time, he's saying it in such a way that we must have the ability to forget who God is and who we are in God. And if you read through the list that we read through in Ephesians 4, 17 through chapter 5, verse 4, you probably see yourself there. Most of you in this room have professed faith in Jesus Christ. And yet you probably see yourself in Paul's words. Do you struggle with stretching the truth or telling lies? Do you struggle with anger? Do you struggle with being negative? Do you struggle with bitterness? Do you struggle with impure thoughts? Or maybe you struggle with things that he didn't even list there. It's not like he's trying to list everything that we would struggle against, but struggle against fear and worry or insecurity. Paul is writing to real people, remember. People in Ephesus that are just like us. Most of who had put their faith in Jesus. And so on one level, they knew that he was real. But on another level, Paul is saying, you're living as if in certain areas of your life, like God is not real. So how does Paul tell us that we awaken that God consciousness? Verse 30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. If you read that out of context, you might think, oh man, God is just mad at me. The Holy Spirit is just mad at me. But if you look deeper and you look at the context and all the words around it, the forgiveness that is yours, that God gives, the love that he's given to you, it's basically just saying that God cares. The Holy Spirit cares. We often, even as Christians, often think of God as some cosmic, stoic, feelingless being who always does the right thing and punishes us when we do the wrong thing. And yet, as we see that the Holy Spirit is capable of experiencing grief, we see in the rest of Scripture that he's also capable of experiencing great delight. The Scriptures tell us that at times we grieve God, and at times we make the heart of God delight. And it's not either or. He's grieving for those that he delights in. And that grief and that delight that we see in Scripture that God experiences is a sign of relationship, a sign that he cares. And that relationship with God is a reality. Paul tells us that we in turn should forgive as we've been forgiven. We should love as we've been loved. All signs pointing back to that God cares about us deeply. He cares about us immensely. And that his grief and delight is part of his relationship with us. So Paul says, how do we awaken that God consciousness? We remember how much God cares for us. We start to act like God. He says, imitate God. He says, forgive people like you've been forgiven. He says, love people like you've been loved. Remember how much God cares. It talks about the grief of the Holy Spirit there, but it also says, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. How do we awaken that God consciousness within us? That awareness that God is with us, that he's real? Remember that you're an eternal being destined for heaven. Sometimes we forget that we were not created in a vacuum, that the trials of life are not in a vacuum, but that we are connected to God, even in the midst of trial, even in the midst of hardship. We can say that we're destined for eternity in this big picture kind of way, but when it comes to the nitty-gritty of our daily lives, we seem to forget it. And Paul is honing in on that. You know, we're on planet Earth for 70, 80, 90 years. For lucky, we inhabit these bodies, but we were created for relationship with God. We get to experience relationship with God here, but it's just a foretaste of what we will experience in eternity. This is not the final destination. And you're not yourself when you forget how much God cares about you, and you're not yourself when you forget that you are destined for heaven. You're a new self in Christ. If you've put your faith in Christ, you're a new self. And Paul's saying, allow that realization afresh and anew to awaken your God consciousness. We kind of touched on this last week, but Paul, this is connected to his previous statements to us, but there's something of healing, there's something of grace that we're able to give people when we start to and are regularly thinking of how he's shown his love and his grace towards us. And then this passage ends by saying, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. When we're pondering God's grace towards us and his love towards us, it produces grace for others, it produces love for others in us, and then it also makes us grateful people. And so this is not embedded in this scripture to do this, but I want to ask you to do a couple things this week to remind yourself of who you are. To be in that practice of regularly reminding yourself who you are. I want, whenever you go to say grace before a meal, I want you to think about the depth of God's love for you and that your identity comes from how he first loved you and how he first forgave you. Just think on those things when you go to God and you're thanking him for your meal or whatever you say at grace, but also think of those two things, how much he loved you, how much he's forgiven you. And then I want you to cultivate, because I think this is something that we have to cultivate, and Paul seems to have been cultivating that if you look at his various letters, this grateful attitude, this gratefulness. We often become unaware of who we are because we're so focused in on the negative. And part of when we begin to thank God for his love and his grace, or his love and his forgiveness for us, we have thankful hearts. But there's also a piece of that if we teach ourselves, we regularly connect with God, just gratefulness. I'm grateful for what you've done today. That we begin to see things a lot differently. And so, I want, if you have a car, this won't work if you have it, but you can make it something else. But if you have a car and you drive, I want every time that you get in the car, I want you to thank God for two things. Two things related to who you are in him. So every time you sit down to say grace this week, thank him for his forgiveness and his love for you. Every time you get in the car this week, I want you to think of two things that you're grateful for. So Lord, we come before you and we thank you for how you first loved us. We thank you for the love that you've given to us, the forgiveness that you've lavished upon us. And we want to live out of that understanding. Lord, we've got this old self and this new self, and there seems to be this tendency within us to go back to the old self or to maybe compartmentalize ourselves. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us strength to remember who we really are in you, and that you would give us strength to live out of that, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name, Jesus' most holy name. Amen.